We appreciate all of you and this opportunity to study with you this week in connection to the heart of man and then setting that heart on fire in service to the Lord. As I said, I wanted to lay that foundation there really in a Bible class because I get the feedback. And I want people, hey, what do you mean by that? And so forth. But if you have any questions in regards to that lesson, please ask that question, and we'll look at and we'll talk about it. What I want to do is kind of go back to some of those things that are stated, that were stated in the lesson, as well as we'll progress on a further study of what it means to have that heart set on fire. And I want to begin with the statement that is made there in Luke 24, verses 31 through 32. And I don't know if you guys begin with prayer. However you do it. Why? Hey, let's bow in a word of prayer. God, our Father, thank you for this opportunity. We pray that you'll be with us as we open up your word and that it may affect us and cause us to submit ourselves to you, that we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, that was for my benefit, really. In Luke 24, verses 31 through 32, when you look at this situation that occurs, remember those two guys on the road to Emmaus? There are several things that you can really glean from that situation. One of the things that I've gleaned from that as well is in this conversation, these two individuals are talking about the event in reference to the death or the crucifixion, and then they had, you could tell that they were not even thinking about the resurrection, but the event of the crucifixion of Christ, they're talking about it. And Jesus appears with these men. They don't recognize him. But as he appears to them, it is interesting as they are talking about those things that you learn a lesson in etiquette. What do I mean by that? As they're talking, Jesus doesn't come up and say and jumps right into the conversation. He doesn't do that. He asks a question. And that question is, what things? And notice the response of these two men. Have you not heard? Were you not aware? Where were you? Did you have your head hole in the ground? And that's really how they're responding to that question. But in essence, what Jesus is doing, he knew exactly what they were talking about. But what he's doing is he's asking for permission to be a part of their conversation. How do we react when two adults are standing there talking and a child runs up and starts jumping in? What do we usually say? We're talking. Don't interrupt. There you go. Wait a minute. Yeah, we tell our children that. Because what they're doing is they're being rude as they come in and interfere in the conversation. But if the child came up and said, what are y'all talking about? What do we usually do? Well, here's what we're talking about. We open up and we start talking. Why? Because they're asking to be a part of the conversation. And when you allow them to come into the conversation, by you responding to their question and telling them, catching them up on what you have talked about, now they are part of the conversation. And if they have anything to say, usually we will accept that. Why? Because they asked for permission to be a part of the conversation. And we responded now that they are a part of the conversation. And when they say something, we're more apt to listen. That's how the relationship is. And that's exactly what Jesus did with these men on the road to Emmaus. And then as he proceeds to, as they're trapped, and he's talking with them, and he opens up their mind to the scriptures. If he had come in there and they said, you don't even know what you're talking about. You're not a part of this conversation. I know some of the phrases and reactions today in our mind, talk to the hand. That's how we kind of respond, those kinds of things. He didn't do that. He asked for permission to be a part of the conversation. And when they responded and they told him and caught him up on those things, now he's a part of it and he gets the opportunity to open up their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And the result of that is the response there. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? We're beginning to learn what it really means on how to set someone's heart on fire, and even our own. We do it by, as we'll see here, we have to get that information into our hearts and mind. And what's in our hearts and mind is about Jesus Christ and who he is. That's what it's about. And then as we talk about those things, it's going to set a fire on our hearts because we'll be able to see and understand, just like those individuals on the road to Emmaus. And so this class is about, how do we do that? How do we do it? And we get some examples over and over again throughout the scriptures. And I hope it changes the way we really look at maybe the book of Acts itself as well. In other passages, start to see them over and over again. So how do we get this information into individuals' hearts? Number one, by remembering those kinds of things, those situations. They're given detail. God reveals those things in details for a reason. And that reason is so we can see the true master at teaching others. The true master at getting hearts set afire to serve God. And so here, the first thing we see on how to set a heart afire is look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. Let's look over there and see what John says. 1 John chapter 4. In this letter that John is writing, there is a dominant word. Really, when you look through John, I mean, yeah, there are a lot of other dominant words, of course. But there's one in particular. But verses 16 and 17 of 1 John 4. In verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Christ, or Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. But how is that going to take place? Verse 16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love God. We love because he first loved us. What did you see was a key in helping this start? Yes. All right, love. Love, okay. Love is a dominant word in the verse. But there's something else before that. Remember, he first loved us. It's sort of like we don't really know how to love. We had to be what? So what's the phrase to help us to get hearts set afire? What was that?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. People have to know. They have to know who is involved, what this is all about. If people don't know, then they can't really grasp and understand what's going on. Knowledge is important. And so notice that John points out there in verse 6, we have come to know. And the more we know, and this information is a little bit deeper than just facts. This is about having an intimate relationship. This is about getting real close, up close, where you actually smell one another's breath. That kind of knowledge, that kind of knowing. And when that individual, as John points out here, when they have come to know, now what does it produce? Belief. Now you can begin to see what they did in the book of Acts. They conveyed information. And when they conveyed information, these men, as they were conveying that, they were conveying their own conviction in that information that they believe. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm standing up. That's why I'm proclaiming, no matter what you do to me, I am going to stand. I'm going to. Why? Because I know that this is true. It changed their lives. You know how the disciples struggled before Jesus was crucified with what Jesus was telling them? And then when Jesus is taken into custody, what do? They scattered. But then after the resurrection, and then when the Holy Spirit comes, this thing is real. And because this is real, they stood. They burned through whatever challenges that was. These were hearts set on fire. Whatever obstacle was put in the way, they burned right through it. Even when they faltered, they got right up. And they continued to burn through that. They didn't let it stop them. Those hearts were on fire. And you see individuals, they were growing in leaps and bounds. They ended up being exactly what John was saying. We have come to know and believe. And it changes the way that you actually communicate information to individuals. They can pick up on it. They can pick up on your intensity about it. Caleb isn't here. This morning we were discussing about sports there. I know he loves sports. He loves to talk about it. Don't we talk about something that we really like? We talk about it with intensity and passion. Don't we do that? Well, that's the same kind of intensity and passion we need to have when it comes to the gospel. We need to know it. We need to be up front, close, personal with it. And as we're like that, it's going to change the way we communicate to people. They're going to see it. Let me tell you about the conversation I had with Caleb. I told him that South Carolina is going to win the NCAA football championship this year. And I said, remember April 22nd, when we just kind of were playing. And then I said, not only that, for when it comes to the pro football, the Los Angeles Rams are going to win the championship. we just had a good time. And he says, no, they're not. And then he pointed out his teams, and he says, remember April 22nd. Either I'll be 0 for 2 or 2-0. And he says, Eli, he'll be 0 for 2 or 2-0. But when you talk about those kinds of things, you talk about them with intensity, you talk about them with passion. And that's the way we need to be. When our hearts are set on fire, we respond like those two men on the road to Emmaus. Our hearts will burn within us. And every time the conversation begins about Jesus and what it's all about, we're going to be intensified. Last night, Brother Wayne gave a short talk, and he was actually mentioning some of the things that I would be teaching in the lesson. And I thought, well, he's not stealing my thunder. What he's doing is pouring more fuel on the fire. That's what happens. When a lot of people say, oh, you're stealing my thought. No, it should be you're pouring more fuel on the fire. And as you pour more fuel on the fire, I mean, you want to talk about it. You think about it. And when you encounter with others, you're going to let them know in the way that you talk about anything else, because your mind has been open and your heart is set on fire and you just want to communicate. And you're looking for every opportunity to communicate that information to individuals. So it's about learning. It's about learning. We have to learn those things. Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. Another passage here. I get caught up in this, and I need to be shutting it down soon. So, but I want you to notice, when in Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 9, as Paul talks about the aspect of justification, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Notice how he words that. And then as you drop down to verse 5, I'll go ahead and read through it. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proving character, hope. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Think about that. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. The more we know about these things, the more we're going to be willing and ready and able to talk about them with others. Our hearts will be burning to tell others about it. We will be filled up. We sing the song, Oh, Fill My Cup, Let It Overflow. Let it overflow with love. That's it right there. We let our hearts be filled with the knowledge of God, and it will not cannot help but overflow in our conversations, in our action, at work, at play, just a different attitude altogether, and it will be intensified. And so when you're looking at Romans here, Paul is pointing out what God did while we are helpless. He died for us. And there are so many people out there with the mentality that things like they're helpless. And here you and I have this information of hope. And we're filled up with it, and we're looking. It's sort of like the metal detector. We should be soul detectors, looking for souls to convey truth to. That means our hearts are set on fire. It's burning, and we cannot keep it inside. We have to tell others about it. So it's about learning. Also chapter 10, verses 4 through 15 there. Are there any questions or comments in reference to that so far? Yes. There it is. Yeah, it sure does. Absolutely. And the Bible tells us about that over and over again. And it doesn't say it in the words that we would like to hear. It tells us by actions. It tells us about these details that are going on. And if you look at Jesus himself, remember the ultimate man filled with God, and you could see what he does, the conversation with these men on the road to Emmaus. His interaction with the disciples, his even sitting down with the sinners, those who needed a physician, he's sitting down with them. It didn't matter what the Pharisees thought. It didn't matter what they thought. It was about what God wanted, what God thought. That was his perception. That was his heart. That was his mind. And look what happened. He even burned through whatever obstacles, even the cross. And Paul is stating that here in Romans 5, this expectation, this hope, when that hope is firmly seated in our hearts and mind, it changes everything about us. It does. And some of you have been displaying that. And I appreciate that. You are very encouraging. I want to encourage you. Keep it up. You're going to impact individuals as you're getting going out shopping and encountering people, because there's a lot of people in their mind are hopeless as they're thinking. And they're looking for a way out. And when our lives are changing, people can see it in our eyes. You look like you want to talk to me. Sometimes they'll come up and start talking to you, because you look like you want to talk to them. See, it changes our perspective. And then we end up conveying this information to them. Okay. All right. Let's see. Luke chapter 7. Real quick. Luke 7. This is one of those lessons that when I read about it, I could see the image. I could see it happening. Because what it does, it talks about this woman that comes to Jesus. And here they are. They're talking, sitting around talking in the house of a Pharisee, and all others are there, and they're seeing what's going on. This woman, recognizing her condition, what does she do? She realizes who Jesus is. She realizes that he is the only one that can help her. Regardless of what the others are thinking, what the others would be saying, the slanderous things about her, it motivates and pushes her through to where Jesus is. And she has no shame as she begins to wet his feet with her tears. And then turn around and take her hair and dry them. I don't have material things, but what I do have, it is for you. And that's the picture that you see. And when Jesus sees this whole situation is used as a teaching experience of how powerful love is. This woman, you see her? The one who has been forgiven much loves much. She did not let what they would say, what they would think, stop her from being at the master's feet to serve. And it becomes this picture that's painted on your hearts and minds. That as long as I am headed towards Jesus and doing his will, regardless of what others are saying, regardless of what others are thinking, I'm going to serve him. He shows me what love truly is. He's willing to talk to me. He's willing to... if he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. He would not allow her to touch him. That's the way they thought, but that's not how Jesus thought. She touched him. She cried at his feet, took her hair, dried them. That's an amazing picture. So what we're seeing is, how do we set our hearts on fire by love? By recognizing love for what it is. Being made aware, opening up our world. How often have our kids, and even me, at first, when mom and dad were giving me instructions, they don't love me. they're robbing me. And then when I listened to the advice that they were giving and showing that love, how often have I gone back and given mom a hug? Wrap my arms around her. I said, woman, you really love me, didn't you? It changes, you see. When we recognize what love is, it causes us to react. It causes us to change our action and our life. We are willingly ready to admit that. Even that's at first, you don't want to say those things. We fight against that. But then as we get older and we see the reality of things, become aware of what they were doing for us and showing their love, we return and we're willing to express that love to them. We're willing to tell them. We're willing to show them. Why? Because we have been made aware. We recognize it. And that's what this woman, she recognized love when she saw it in Jesus the Christ. So she went to him. He's the only one that can help me. He's the only one that will help me. He's the only one that will allow me to touch him. And she did. That's an awesome picture that was given to us there in Luke 7. 1 Timothy chapter 1 there. And you may be familiar with that. As Paul writes to Timothy, and in those verses, Paul expresses several things there. Now notice in verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. That's what he says. I thank him. Why is that? He says, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor, as the New American Standard points out, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. There's a lot of people like that. They are ignorant. They don't know. And as we tell them and convey that information to them, yes, some will, they may not change right then and there. It may take a little while. It may take a little while. Understand that. I can tell you illustrations after illustrations about that. And you probably even know some yourselves. Paul says that's what he saw in that. And then he says, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found or which are in Christ Jesus. Wow. Paul saw it. And when he saw it, it changed his life. And he was on fire. Did he not burn through all the challenges? People throwing rocks at him. And they drag him out of this. Well, I want to go back in. No, no. That's how much driven he was. And you could see that. He recognized that. And he even points that out to Timothy. There, let's look at it one more. And John chapter 15, verse 13. A passage that we are familiar with and we talk about. John 15. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Measuring. That's a measurement. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down life for his friends. That's ultimate sacrifice. To lay one's life down as Jesus did. And so that's what we see. We have to measure up to the love that Christ displayed. When we measure up to that love, again, it's going to change our lives. It's going to open up our eyes, and we're going to see opportunities galore. When our eyes are open like that. And then it begins, is there enough time? We're going to start making time. We're going to start scheduling. And sometimes you're going to be wore out because you want to do as much as you can while you can. That's what love does. That's a heart set on fire. And look at what Jesus did, the ultimate example of that. That's a measure of what it's all about. Philippians 3, Paul brings that to the attention of the Philippian brethren there. Another great example of a congregation that is striving, growing, and doing what the Lord wants them to do and be. And you could see that. Where Paul talks about all of his accomplishments. And he's warning the Philippian brethren, beware of those things. Don't let that stop you from growing. Remember how he starts out that letter? That letter starts out, here is, Mike and I were talking about some of these things last night. And that is, you look at this, the church at Philippi, the Philippian jailer, you had criminals there. Yeah. Not only did you have that, but you had women who were involved. Look at what Lydia, when she's converted there. I mean, you have all of these impacts and so forth that are going on. Individuals' lives are changed. And Paul said, all of those accomplishments that you could, that can be tossed on me, he says, they're rubbish. There's a greater purpose, and that greater purpose is attaining to the resurrection of Christ. And you could see it in his life. I told Mike that I had done a lesson about boasting about ourselves through the eyes of Paul. When you start looking through the scriptures at the things that Paul says, you're going to see a lot of eyes. Because usually we say, well, you know, don't want to talk about ourselves like that. Oh, no, I can't do that. Once you look, Paul talks about himself. But know how he does it? Connected to God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How about that? He's telling you his personal conviction. I thank my God. See how he's boasting about it? I'm thanking God. Why? What God did to me, put me into service. And you see it all throughout the letters there. That's a heart set on fire. When it becomes, that knowledge becomes intimate, up close and personal with God, that's how you'll talk too. And it's okay. It's okay. Because what you're doing is, the reason why I am the way that I am is because of God. Because of his love for me. And that same God and that love that he has for me, he has for you. There is, and I'll end with this, there's a brother back at Mill Road who was an alcoholic. That brother would call me while he's intoxicated, and sometimes his mouth was foul of the things that he said to me about me. And I would tell him, I said, brother, sober up. When you sober up, I'll talk to you. And he kept talking. I said, sober up, I'll talk to you. And I hung up on him. And then when he was sober and we start, I would talk to him and I would tell him about the power of God and his love. And he says, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. Next thing you know, a couple of days later, I get a phone call. Hey, when you sober up, I'll talk to you. Hung up. To this day, that brother, his life has changed. And he goes into the hospital. He's trying to teach others about God. He's telling them what God has done for him. He says, my life has changed. I'm no longer that way. He doesn't call me blessing me, or well, not blessing me, cursing me out. He calls and he says, What's the word today? What's the word today of encouragement? That brother, his life has changed. And he is an inspiration to me. You see, that's what love and a heart set on fire does. It changes. And so wherever he is and ever has the opportunity, he's telling people about God. And he's quoting scriptures. And he says, I don't have that. I'm not a scholar or anything like that. I tell him, I say, you keep doing what you're doing. You're okay. And I tell you, his life has changed. And I'm telling you, it's a bright spot. And I tell you, it works. It's real because of that. And I thank God for that brother. I thank God for it. Lives change because of God's love. Thank you for this time we had together.